Good morning, Hope Church. How are you doing today? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you today. And I should start off by saying, welcome to Alaska. Is this weather crazy? Wasn't just last week we had 60, 70 degree weather? And now we're back to the, what was it, 7 or 8 degrees this morning? 9 degrees, just totally in the wrong direction. You're like, wait a minute, it's not supposed to be happening this way. We're supposed to be going warmer now, not colder. Do you know, we've been talking about the seasons of God and how God brings you from one season to the next and how it should be a progressively improvement in our lives, the quality of life. But there'll be times in this journey that you're going to find and deal with some setbacks or stepbacks or holdups. What to do when the season you're in looks like the season you already came out of and it feels like you're going the wrong way? What do we need to do? Because if you're there, you're not alone. Everybody experiences this from time to time. What do we need to do to break through and move forward into what God has for us and not be delayed or denied? Amen? Amen. So would you bow your head? Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for this is the day you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Lord, I hold up every person under the sound of my voice, and I just pray wherever they're at, whatever they need, whatever they're dealing with, that today you minister to each person uniquely, specifically, for where they're at. And Lord, I just thank you that every person on the sound of my voice can receive at least one truth that brings liberty and freedom and advancement in their life. Jesus, we give you all the praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We've been on this series for quite some time now, a lot longer than typically. And it's main reason is every time I go to quit and move on to our next season, which we've been working on already, the Lord drops another idea that I feel like, okay, I can't close this up until I communicate this part or this truth. And so today we're going to be kind of doing a little review, and then I want to talk about this, how to break through these seasons of when we feel like we're having a step back. And so in a quick review for all of our guests, if you're here, we're honored to have you. We give you anonymity at Hope Church, which basically means hang out and hide out, make yourself at home. We're not going to ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We just want this to be a great experience. But if you've been with us in this series and taking notes, we're going to do a little quick review, and hopefully this will be a benefit to bring it all together. So it's just not a lot of different pieces. We found out in Revelation 21 that God says he can and makes all things new. God has the ability to bring newness. It might be a brand new and getting rid of an old. It might be a renewing of something that seems like it's dead and old. But it's a quality of life because of God's life in our life. God has the ability to bring newness, a new season, you could say. And in the plan of God, he has promised us, from his word we see, this newness that not only happens at salvation, that's the beginning, but it's also a newness of life, we found out. Because if we just see it at the birthing of when we got saved, I prayed and accepted Jesus as Lord of my life in 1964, well, praise God. But if you stopped experiencing his newness, then I've seen people who've been saved for a long time, but spiritually on the inside, they're dry. And it's like life is not, there's no freshness, there's no newness. Even David in the Old Testament said, restore unto me, God, the joy, the Hebrew word sassoon, the joy of my salvation. Because David, in all that he had accomplished, David, who was a man after God's own heart, David himself found and faced dry seasons in life. And so if you're not careful, we can stay there and think, well, that newness is because I just got saved and now I'm more mature and it's not new. No, God has the ability, and let me just break it this way. I believe, and I think you'll agree, that we have yet to come to the end of God in our understanding, in our experience. God has so many layers or depths or information or revelation or ideas or perspectives or angles, any way you want to say it, that you could spend a million years studying him and always come up with something new. He's that amazing. So I don't think it's like, I've been saved for 30 years and there's nothing new under the sun for me. No, I believe that in Jesus, the best is always yet to come. In fact, I look at it that if I'm still walking on this earth, I haven't reached it yet. Come on, somebody. I mean, if Enoch can get to a place he walked with God and he just went on over to heaven, you know what I mean? If I'm still here in the flesh, there's still stuff for me to learn. And I think that's an important thing for all of our journeys and perspectives, because if we're not careful, we'll become so sure of what we do know that we're not open to what we don't know. And what we don't know is important for us to know, so you can achieve what God's called you to achieve. And so God's promised, say promise, God's given all of us a promise of newness, a new season, in any and all areas. Please don't box God in and talk about God in the context of just Sunday morning. He wants to be intertwined in every area of your life. God can bring a new season, a renewal, a freshness, his life into your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in any and all areas. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know it's cold outside, so I got to work you a little bit. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
Let's try a little better amen.
Amen.
All right, now we're together. And so God has and wants to bring this newness and walk you through the process. So he's given us a promise. But just because you have a promise doesn't mean you're going to have it yet. Because we have to inherit the promises of God, the Bible says, through faith and patience. And one of the first steps for us is we have to be aware of the promise. We have to be awakened to it. We have to begin to perceive the possibility of that promise. You could say it this way, and the Bible tells us that if someone hasn't heard of salvation, how are they going to be saved? It says, how can they be saved unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? See, just because it's available doesn't mean you can receive it unless you know about it. And many times, if you're not aware of it, you can love God and go to heaven and not be aware that he can heal you, so you're not open to healing. You can love Jesus and go to heaven and not be aware that he wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to those around you and to a generation, and you'll never be open for God to bless you. You'll just think that the God's about, I mean, you getting to heaven, and one day when you get to heaven, you'll be blessed. Well, what are you going to do with money in heaven? Can you see Gabriel knocking on your door in heaven? Rent's due. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? That's not going to happen. So if we're not aware of it, we won't be open to it. If we're not open to it, we can't inherit or receive it. We see that played out in Elisha. Elisha was just plowing the field until Elijah touched him with a mantle, and he became aware of what he didn't have that he could have that God had for him. See, I'm a firm believer that when you spend time and hear the word and the presence of God, that God can take that word that you're hearing and make you aware of what you don't have, that you could have. It's a potential that he's paid for through the cross of Jesus, on Calvary. And so it's not something that we encourage people to be greedy for something that's not yours that somebody else has. That's greed. We're talking about you having what Jesus already paid for you to have on the cross of Calvary. That's not greed, that's inheritance. Amen?
Amen?
That's good news. See, the gospel is the good news. To someone who's sick, to find out that by the stripes of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, you can be healed, that's good news. To find out that you don't have to spend the rest of your life in pain management therapy, but you can be made whole, he can do the impossible, that's good news. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To find out your marriage can be restored, that's good news. To find out there's people who walk around that are physically fine, but emotionally are broken and busted and disgusted. And to find out that Jesus not only forgives your sins spiritually, but can make you whole emotionally, that's good news. Can I get an amen? See, we got it. When we start seeing the promises of God that are tied to salvation and find out that the gospel is good news, it makes us aware of what God can and want to do for us and has provided for us if we're open to receive it. See, the blood of Jesus is saved, potentially can save every person who's ever taken a breath. But doesn't mean everybody's going to get saved. They have to be open to it. God loves you. You can go to heaven and not be open to everything he has for you. Did you hear me? See, I'm a believer that when we get to heaven, God will be able to show you, here's your life and here's what your life could have been. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're struggling financially, you're a bad person. Not at all. Doesn't mean if you're struggling in your marriage, you're a bad person. Not at all. It doesn't mean if you're struggling in your emotions, your thought life, you're a bad person. Not at all. It might be that you're not aware and haven't caught the vision of what God has for you and then walking out the process to receive it. You could be there's different phases in this journey. And so if we're not careful, we'll start condemning ourselves. Well, man, I'm struggling financially. I guess I'm just not that good of a person. No. You're qualified by the blood of Jesus. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? You're a son and daughter of God. You have access. It's just us walking through the process so that you can have what God has for you. And don't feel bad. You're not alone because everybody's growing in some area. No one's perfect. Aren't you glad to know that? We come dressed looking perfect. We smile and talk like we're perfect. And we greet people in church like we're perfect. But we all know that behind all the smiles, we're not perfect. We're all growing. And so never get upset that, hey, I just haven't reached it yet. Welcome to the party. No one's totally reached it yet. We're all growing in the things of God. I said we're growing, or hopefully you're growing. And so first we found out that there's a promise. Say promise. Secondly, we found out we have to be able to see the promise or have a perspective. Say perspective. You have to perceive it. You have to be aware of it. You have to see it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. As you hear it, it makes you aware of what God has for you. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in the natural. But later on, you see in Hebrews 11, it talks about the men and women of faith who had not yet received what they were believing for fully, but had seen them afar off. What happens? You catch this vision. God makes you aware of it. You don't create the vision. You don't create the Hebrews 12:1, run the race set before you. You don't create, copy, or compare your journey or your destiny with other people. That's what the world does. We'll see somebody doing well and say, wow, I like the car they're driving. I think I'm going to do what they're doing. Well, that might not work for you. And even if it did work for you, if it's not what God called you to do, you'll be under a weight of something you can't handle on your own. Why do so many people that seem as successful buckle under the pressure? Because they're carrying weight that God never intended them to carry. When you do it God's way, when you do it God's path, it doesn't mean that everybody loves you. No, quite the opposite. It doesn't mean everybody's applauding you. No, quite the opposite. It doesn't mean everybody agrees with you or that there's no problems or pressure. It just means you're carrying with you the grace of God to stand in the midst of the pressure, and your knees don't buckle and you're not overwhelmed with it because you are not doing it on your own ability. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you for the three. We'll move over here so you guys are a little happier. And so we get a promise. We get a promise of that new, we begin to see it, have a perception and perceive the new, and then once we're aware of it, we must pursue with the plan the new. Elisha let go and began to pursue Elijah and begin to serve. Abraham left his town because that's what God told him. Leave your country and go to a place, start walking. Can you imagine being in that time frame? Hey, Abram, where are you going? Where are you packing? Going on vacation? No, I'm leaving. For how long? Forever. Whoa. Many people don't do that like they do today. Well, where are you going, Abram? I don't know. He didn't know. He was just starting to walk. You might not understand the big picture and might not see the big plan, but your pursuit is your obedience to what God has revealed to you. God said, I want you to take a step. Well, where's it going to lead? Yeah, man, what's the step after that? Sometimes you don't get all the steps. Can I get an amen? We want all the steps, and it's like that navigational system. We want to put in the address. This is what God showed me. He's called me to be in the ministry. He's called me to own 3 businesses. He's called me to be married, to have children. He's called me to be healed. And we want all of a sudden it to line by line what we have to do. And that makes us feel comfortable and secure that we have a plan ahead of us. But you don't always get a plan. God's not your navigational system. He's like the friend of yours who says, hey, follow me. And I'll take you to where we're going. I've never been there. Just stay close to my car. As long as you see my taillights, as long as you see my car, you stick. If I stop, you stop. If I turn, you turn. See, that's how it works with Jesus. It's not a matter of he's going to download every step in the journey. He's going to say, you stick with me. I'll lead you. Be led by the Spirit. I'm not going to push you. You follow me, right? He told the disciples, you follow me. We tell people, I'm a follower of Christ. You know what I mean? Are we following him? Which means you got him in your view. You're following. You're obeying his word. He's showing you what to do. As you continue to follow Jesus, you know what happens? You're going to reach that destination. Don't shout me down now. Because a lot of times we want to do our thing and want God to bless it. I asked the third service, I didn't say this in the first service, but I asked the third service last week, how long do you have to be on the wrong path before it becomes the right path? Have you ever wondered? How long can I keep doing things wrong before they become right? Some of us have gone down paths in our lives that we know they were wrong when we did it. We're sticking it out, hoping that somewhere in the journey it becomes right. like you're playing chicken with God. I'm going to have my way. Let's see which one. I'm just hoping you bend first, God. Hope you blink first. You know, I mean, you could be on the wrong path for a long time. It's never going to become right. That's why God says repent, which means get off the exit and turn around. Repentance doesn't mean cry, though you can. Repentance doesn't mean you feel sorry and just fall apart, but though you can. Repentance means get off the next exit, turn the car around. You can be on 70 going east and praying, oh, Jesus, I know I should be going west. Help me, Jesus. And it's never going to change anything until you get off, turn around, and come back. To pursue God, there's going to be times in your life He's going to say, you've been doing this, but I want you to change on this one. And you have to be willing to get off, turn around, and come back. But Lord, this is the way I've always done it. This way my parents did it. This way my grandparents did it. Well, that's good. Now you got three generations deep doing it wrong, but that's okay. God still loves you. But if you want to do it God's way, there's times in your life we all have to be open for God to speak into our life and say, I know this is how you're raised. I know this is all you've seen, but let me show you what I see. Get off the exit, turn around, and come back. And the truth be told, some Christians, nobody here, some Christians, the reason they cry so much is they're just feeling bad. And they don't want to stop doing what they're doing that's wrong. They just don't want to feel guilty about it. And so they found out if they pray real hard and cry hard enough, then they get an emotional detox. They kind of feel better about the experience. Whew, I feel so much better. And then they go back out doing their own lifestyle again. They just want Jesus to take away the pain of sin, even though they want to keep doing the act of sin. Oh, we'll leave that for another time. So we go into the, God gives you a promise. Say promise. Promise. Then you begin to perceive the promise. Say perceive. Perceive. Then you begin to pursue the promise. Say pursue. And that's in serving and obeying God. But there'll be times that you run into where you can't seem like you can go farther, or you hit a wall, or you take a season back. Like we went from a hot week back to a cold week. Well, that don't seem like it should happen that way. It seems like we're going in the wrong direction. And there's times in your life you'll feel like you're going in the wrong direction. And you're like, why am I spinning here? And if it's sin, like we said, 1 John 1:9 tells us to repent. And God is faithful and just to forgive you. There's times in your life you're going the right way and it seems like everything you try is not working and you're wondering, God, what am I missing here? And the key to that, which is a part of our walk with God, is that we come to the revelation or the realization that there is some stuff you cannot do in your own power. See, a baby when it's born is totally dependent on its parents. You don't look at a brand new baby and say, time to go to work. But as that baby matures, it becomes more independent. It grows up. And if you have a baby that's now 40 years old and still living in your house and you're feeding and they're not doing anything, it's okay to look at them and say, time to grow up, get a job. Because out of maturity should be independence. And if you're here today 40 and you're still living with your mom and you haven't working, please, I didn't know you were, didn't know it. She did not call me. She did not offer me extra offering if I said this. I do now. I'm not aware of this, so don't even go there, okay? All right. Just to make sure we're okay. Our human tendency is for us to become independent, and that's the way it should be. But you know, with our walk with God, it's actually the complete opposite. When you get saved, we still tend to be. We start off not dependent. We start off independent, which means, God, I'll call you when I need you. If I don't have a problem, I'm leaving you alone. It's almost crisis management. I go to church, I read the Bible, I pray, I start serving God when I run into problems. But besides that, if I want something, besides those two extremes, we're independent. We don't even think about God. But somewhere in our spiritual growth, we come to the place that, not that you have to think about Jesus 24 hours a day. Can you imagine going to work and you're trying to work and your boss says something and all you can do is say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I can't talk to Jesus, Jesus, I got to keep my mind. Jesus, Jesus. That's not what it's talking about. But there's something in your spiritual growth where you realize that you're more dependent on God, that the life He's called you to live, you can't do it on your own ability. Have you not seen in the Bible where it says, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. See, it's Christ who lives in me. Christ is the that is not Jesus' last name. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing, or you could say the Messiah. Orthodox Jews are still looking for the Messiah. Jesus is Christ, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. I shared before where one of my concerns, and you might think it's just off the wall crazy, and that's okay, just pray for me. One of my concerns is I'm noticing a cliche, you could say, a very popular phrasing happened in the church world, and that's where they say we're followers of Christ. Right? I'm a disciple or follower of Christ. And that sounds really spiritual, but you know, a concern I have is that it does not define who the Christ is. You say, that makes no sense. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said. In the last days, people will say, the Christ is over there and the Christ is here. What was he saying? In the last days, people would be popping up saying, I'm the Christ. And if we just tell people to follow Christ, they could get confused on who they're supposed to follow. Well, it's obvious it should be Jesus. No, it's not obvious. Because if you don't know Jesus and you're just trying to follow Christ, it's interesting how we're afraid, or we're not, you're not. Some people are just a little concerned of not to even say Jesus. We'll tell people, I believe in God. Well, why do we get so nervous about saying Jesus? Yeah. Am I saying if you say you're a disciple of Christ, you're wrong? No, I'm not saying you have to stop saying that, but as long as you know who the Christ is. So I'm a disciple of Jesus. You say that's being nitpicky. I'm telling you, I believe in the last days that the enemy will bring deception. Because if we say, follow Christ, follow Christ, follow Christ, follow Christ, follow Christ, and someone pops up and displays power, which the Antichrist will be able to do in the last days, and he'll rise up and say, God has sent me, I'm the Christ. We've already prepared people mentally to follow Christ. The devil steps in with deception and says, I'm the Christ. And now it's a little trickier, isn't it? We teach people to follow Jesus Christ. Guess what? When someone comes up and says, I'm the Christ, say, you're not Christ. I know Jesus. I got him in my heart. I have a relationship with him. That you're not him. Come on, somebody. All right, that was free. So here we get back to this. Let's get back to faith. So how do we break through? What we need and what we learn is that we have to live beyond our greatest ability. We have to tap into not just our power. We have to be able to access God's power. David understood this because he told the king of the tent, King, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God who will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine. What was he saying? I'm pursuing, but I know it's God empowering. Oh, let me say that again. I'm pursuing, but I know it's God empowering. I'm pursuing, but I know it's the power of God that's empowering me to do what God's called me to do. When you struggle in a situation, man, I'm trying to not sin. No, God's given you power over sin. Most churches don't preach that. A lot of churches, you know what they preach? Well, you're just a sinner saved by grace. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're saved. Behold, all things are made new. You're a new creation in Christ. Oh, you know, we try our best, but we all sin daily. No. That's not the Bible. People think, well, everybody can't help it. Everybody does. We're all going to sin. No, God's given you power over sin. It's a deceptive act of the enemy to convince people that it's okay to sin daily and do a quick prayer because you know what? Everybody does it. And it's a lie of the devil because the devil knows that sin will keep you farther away from God that you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay. It'll separate you from the best of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the things of God. It separates you. God told Israel, have I divorced you? Have I left you? No, your sin has pulled you away from me. The devil knows sin separates you from God's presence, from God's provision, God's protection. And so it's convinced and creeped into the church world in different areas. And people say, well, you know, I'm just going to sin today because everybody sins. No. You have power over sin. Say, I have power over sin. Well, it's not working for me, Pastor. I know that's what we're talking about today. How do we get into that? How do we get into that? How do we get into that? Acts 1:8, Jesus told the disciples to hang out in Jerusalem and said that you will receive or be endued with, King James says, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Folks, let me just be real straight with you. The Holy Spirit is real. The presence of God is real. But he has been so defined incorrectly, in my opinion. The Holy Spirit is more than a prayer language. I believe in the praying in the spirit of praying in tongues. But it has gone to such a weird extreme in some circles that it's almost like if you don't, you're not going to heaven. That's not in the Bible. And then people get offended and say, well, then God doesn't do that anymore. That was early church. Since when did we get a second church? We're still in the church age, right? We're still in the church age. You say, well, I don't know if I understand it. Don't worry. You won't, and none of us will understand everything. We got to walk this thing out by faith. And if it's weird to you, just put it on the back burner. Don't be freaked out and just say, God, if this is you, show me. God's not going to scare you. He'll walk you through the process. Praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit is so important. It builds you up. Jude verse 20. The Bible's full of this. But you know what? We can define the presence of God by demonstrations, and that's dangerous. He's more than a prayer language. He's more than a dove. He's not a dove. That was a symbol. Okay? He's real. The presence of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, he's real. When we try to do our things on our ability, it messes up. But when we do what God shows us to do in his ability, you can have victory. Did you hear me? It's his power. It's more than a goosebump, more than a dance and song or shout or run. All those are fun, okay? But that God, the presence of God is a lot more than those things. I like to think of those things. Are they wrong? No, but it's kind of like dessert. They're nice to have. But you don't make your meal the dessert. We had a powerful Holy Ghost meeting. What happened? Everybody got slain. And we define now that if it's anointed and powerful, everybody's got to be slain. Not so. Hello? I'm ticking somebody off, but I still love you. I mean, you can go through scriptures and by examples and see that God can do that, but does it have to happen all the time? No. Let's not define the power and presence of God based on if you're laughing or crying, if you're shouting or kneeling, if you got a goosebump or don't have a goosebump, because one of the things you'll learn in the journey is that when you are facing your giants like David did, when you're facing the storm like Jesus did, when you're facing those impossible, you might not feel the presence of God. But that Jesus still said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got to be willing and understand how to not feel strong in the Lord, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because when you're fighting the battle, you're not going to have a Holy Ghost goosebump, a shout, an emotion, or run. You might feel nothing. You might not even feel safe, but you rise up because you're not a child of God because you feel it. You're a child of God because of the truth, and you are born again, and you can rise up and say, I'm not moved by what I feel here. See, I'm moved by the word. Devil, you got to flee because I resist you. Did you hear me? Yes. Look at Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. Let's throw that verse up. For God is working in you. God is working in you. Guess what he's doing? He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. See, where God's taking you and leading you, there's a transition over time. You're like, God, I don't know if I can make that step. I know you can't, but you can in me. I'll give you the desire and the power. And the ability, something beyond your ability. When you just define your world by your ability, you're limiting yourself. When you define by God's ability as you obey him, then the world is open to you. Thank you for that. Powerful. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. By the Holy Spirit, he empowers your spiritual man, not your emotions. Praise God for your emotions. Celebrate your emotions, but don't make life decisions on your emotions. We back up so many times, and it's like, God, why are you backing up? Because I felt like I need to back up. We have so sometimes gone down the wrong path, and we've done it long enough, we think it's going to be the right path someday. And for some of us, we have defined being led by the Spirit literally by being led by our emotions. Oh, the Holy Spirit's leading me. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. You stayed up late with some friends, you're tired, and you didn't want to wake up. So you slept in and go to church. At least be honest. The Holy Spirit didn't lead you to rest. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit's leading me to... No. See, you came and someone at work offended you, and now you want to leave your job because you chewed out the boss, and now he yelled back at you. And... Well, I told him I'm a woman of God or I'm a man of God. He should listen to me. He's not even saved. He's not listening. Don't throw that stuff at people that don't know Jesus. Well, it's the truth. Let me tell you what the truth is. Jesus is the truth. And the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay. Galatians. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is all about investing and receiving. We a lot of times talk about money in this way, but it's just not about money. Money's a small part of this. It's the investment, the rhythm of your life. It's the investment, the rhythm of your life. It's the investment, the rhythm of your life. In the rhythm of your life, are you investing in the things of God? Just not financially with your tithes and offerings, and that's good and it's important. You should do that. But also, do you spend time in prayer? Do you spend time in the Word? Do you spend time worshiping God? Do you spend time obeying God and serving, do what God asks you to do? Those are investments, deposits. Do you know what happens? We get the cart in front of the horse, and we get it all mixed up, because when you run into a crisis, if you're a crisis management Christian, you know what happens? You begin to pray when you got a problem. You say, well, aren't I supposed to pray? Jesus said, you have not because you asked. Now, let me show you something. When you dig into the original text, you'll find it out a little different, okay? When you run into a problem, that's not the time to start praying. Let me bring a different perspective. You run into a big bill, so you go to the bank with your big invoice that you didn't see and say, I need money for my bill. And they said, okay, what's your account? I don't have an account. But I know you got money back there. All of a sudden, they start hitting that little button because you're trying to access something that don't belong to you. See, we want God. We want to reap from the life of God, but we've never made any investment. But I'm a son and daughter of God. Absolutely, that qualifies you. Now you got to learn to access it. How do I access it? I make the investment. My investment connects me to the vine. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, can you see that? Then you'll ask what you will shall be done. There's already a rhythm of investment. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to, when you're in the day of battle, you don't need to go pray. You need to stand up and fight. David didn't say, I hear Goliath, let me pray. No, David charged Goliath. Let me give you a Jesus illustration. When Jesus is on the boat, remember sleeping and the big storm, and Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side. On the way he was sleeping, a big storm came up, right? Shake your head right. Come on, I got to work you. Shake your head. That's right. I remember that. Even if you don't, just shake your head right. We'll give you one pass for that. Jesus, they woke up Jesus. Lord, don't you care that we die? Did Jesus start praying? Can you imagine Jesus look at the storm and say, OMG, I didn't see that coming. Oh, Father, I just ask you, Lord, we didn't see this problem. We knew you told us to go to the other side. You told us to get in this boat. Lord, this is your boat. This is your ministry. Lord, we don't know. Father God, we ask you. We just know that you're going to turn this thing for good for us. Lord, Jesus didn't begin to pray to the Father. Do you know what Jesus did? He rebuked the winds and spoke peace. Now, this is going to be kind of opposite for some of us that have come up the ranks of the church world, because we were told, if you got a problem, go pray. No. Prayer should be a part of the rhythm of your life, so that when you have a problem, you rise up. Arise, shine, Isaiah says. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Let me just mess up your theology a little more. Show me times, we all know that Jesus healed the sick. Show me a time where Jesus prayed for someone to be healed. Do you know why it's harder for us to see the sick healed in our lives? Because we pray for Jesus to heal the sick. Jesus didn't see the leper and say, Father, I just ask you to heal this leper. Lord, bring healing. Jesus didn't do that. He rebuked the enemy and brought healing. This is going to sound different. Well, what about Lazarus? He prayed before the throne, before the tomb of Lazarus in the purpose of, and it said in his prayer, Father, I know that you have already heard me, but I'm saying this so that they know who I'm. He didn't say, Father, heal Lazarus. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. See, what am I telling you? You have authority, Jesus said, to bind and to loose, to permit or to release. What you allow will be allowed. What you do not allow will not be allowed. You have the authority. And yet some of us are trying to spend time praying when that's not time to pray. It's to exercise your authority. Well, Lord, just please take the enemy away. No, no, no. Rise up above it. Deal with it in the authority that God's given you. You have power. You have power. You have power. When do I have power? When I'm accessing the vine, when I'm in relationship with Jesus. Remember, it said before the verse, resist the devil and he'll flee. Before that, it says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. If I don't submit to God, I don't have authority to resist. Because my authority comes from God. My power comes from Him. So how do you, so if it's a demon, if it's a sickness, if it's a problem, you don't have to go run and pray. You're hiding and afraid to attack. No, charge the giant. You have power. If you've been investing in the things of God, you have back in you the things of God. If you're connected to Jesus, you're not alone. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one, and His anointing, which strengthens you. What am I telling you? Your strength is just not limited to your strength. Start tapping into the strength of God. The anointing of God, the power of God, the presence of God. But I'm just not feeling any goosebumps. You'll not always feel goosebumps. Praise God when you do. But there'll be times you don't feel anything in the natural. You have to move forward and obey God. Because you found out you had a promise. You caught the vision of what that promise is. You've been serving and connecting to that relationship with God and obeying God and what He's called you to do. Developing that process in your life. You're growing in things of God. And now all of a sudden you realize you don't have to run. Some people will use prayer as an excuse to hide. Wow. No, my prayer is part of my relationship with Jesus. Yeah. Ongoing, just not in the highs or lows, but on the rhythm. And because of the grace of God, I'm staying connected to God. I'm staying connected to Jesus. That when I need to, when I have a giant in my path today, I don't have to go, oh, Jesus, please help me. No, you know He's already helping you. He's already given you the authority to break through and to move forward. You have the power in Jesus. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean that without Him you can't do anything, because you can sin without Jesus. You can create some problems without Jesus. But without Him you can't do what God's called you to do. The rhythm keeps you connected. And then when the challenges arise or opportunities arise, His power empowers you to move forward. Not by emotion, but by the power of God. Amen? Amen. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.